Welcome to the intersection of faith and the culture. It's Wall Builders, where we're taking on the hot topics of the day from a biblical, historical, and constitutional perspective. Rick Green here with David and Tim Barton. And we got Ben Carson coming on, guys. Really cool. Looking forward to this.
This is super exciting. And for those that might not know...
Because they're living under a rock somewhere. They don't know who Ben Carson is, right?
Right. But you know what? In fairness, there's people, if you've only known Ben Carson because of the Trump administration, you know, there's a lot of an amazing story that you've been missing out on. And growing up back 80s, 90s, we had to do a lot of book reports. And, you know, part of our, for our families, we were traveling in our van and our van schooling, you know, before it was really homeschooling and before that became a very cool and trendy thing that it's becoming these days. One of the books that I remember we had to read was a book called Gifted Hands. And it was about this Christian doctor, the first one to ever successfully separate Siamese twins conjoined at the head, like sharing a brain. And this guy, neuro brain surgeon, goes in and he is able to take this brain that's conjoined and just piece by piece, take it apart. And part of the story and testimony is he would go in and he'd spend a couple hours doing it. And he'd go, I don't know if I can do it anymore. And he might take a break somewhere. And as he was taking a break, just thinking, maybe praying, going, man, I don't know what to do. And then he'd have an idea of, oh, wait a second, what if I try this? And he'd go back in and he would try that and it would work. And he would go for another hour or two. And he would take a break and he would go out and think, man, I don't know what to do. And God kept leading him this whole time. He was able to separate this brain like unbelievable, amazing fashion. Well, how did this guy come to be the most successful, one of the, right, really should be one of the most revered brain surgeons, neurosurgeons ever? Well, he started off in a home with a single mom who was a high school dropout who gets pregnant super early in life. And his mom cannot read or write to speak of, really. I mean, maybe knows a little, but really can't do much reading or writing. They're, as a family, growing up in the projects. And he's Ben Carson has another brother. And every night they would talk about that, have mattresses that were below the window because there were shootings and all kinds of violence. And mom decides that she doesn't want her boys to grow up where they're going to join one of these gangs and end up dying one day in the gang. How can I get my boys out of here? She decided education is the way. She starts taking them to the public library. They have to get a book. She makes them do a book report like every week, has to turn it into her. And they start doing this. And there comes a time like after third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, that Ben Carson's in sixth, seventh, eighth grade, somewhere along those lines. And his mom was, every week she'd give him grades and give these papers back. And he realized like his mom was circling or underlining words that he knew he spelled correctly. He knew he had structured the sentence correctly. And he went to his mom and was like, Mom, this is correct. And she finally acknowledged, she's like, okay, I don't really know how to read. I don't know what these words are. I just knew you could do better. And so I always would just underline and circle words and tell you to do better. And that's what I wanted you to do. Well, he goes on to become one of the highest performing academic students, gets scholarships to attend these private schools, and then gets scholarship to college and scholarship to med school. His brother ends up being an actual rocket scientist. Just this amazing testimony and an incredible Christian testimony. And certainly, he was part of the Trump administration, did a lot of significant things there at HUD, but this guy's faith journey is one of inspiration, should be inspiring more Americans. He's written so many incredible books, and it's an honor and pleasure to have him on the program today.
I think, Tim, you're confused. I think you're actually thinking of Cuba Gooding Jr. Oh, no, wait, that's who played him in the movie. That's right. Never mind. Sorry. I got. Could you imagine if Cuba Gooding Jr. played you in a movie? I mean, how cool! That in and of itself is awesome. Listen, this is going to be great. Ben Carson, our special guest today, and of course, as you said, Tim served in the Trump administration. A lot of people talking about him as a possible VP as well. But just a great American, incredible, incredible life story, and we're excited to have him. Great new book coming out, and really talking about the real cause of America's problems right now, and of course, the solution: getting back to those biblical values. Stay with us, folks. Ben Carson, our special guest, when we return.
Hey guys, it's Tim Barton, and I want to let you know about an opportunity coming up for pastors and ministry leaders. We are doing our annual pastor's briefing in Washington, D.C., and we do this every year. We do one in the spring, we do one in the fall. This spring, it's April 16th and 17th. This fall, it is September 10th and 11th. This is one of the most significant things we do to encourage and challenge pastors in this culture we live in. It's in Washington, D.C., and Tuesday night, we do an after-hours tour of the U.S. Capitol, where we introduce pastors and ministry leaders to the history of the nation. The following day, we have congressmen come and they give a briefing on what they're doing and how God is challenging and motivating and using them. And frankly, most pastors, most ministry leaders, they don't know the rich spiritual heritage of the nation or what God is still doing, moving in the hearts and lives of leaders in this nation. I would encourage you, if you're a pastor ministry leader, you need to come to this. It's one of the best things we do at Wall Builders. To find out more, go to wallbuilders.com and look for the pastor's briefing.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on Wall Builders. Great to have Dr. Ben Carson with us, former Secretary of HUD. Thanks so much for coming on, sir.
Well, I'm delighted to be with you, and thanks for being a patriot.
All right, new book, The Perilous Fight. I mean, you know as good as anybody because you've been inside the belly of the beast in Washington, D.C., and you're loved all across America, and people are looking for answers. So you're the perfect voice to bring this message about restoring the family and restoring the country. Perilous Fight coming out in just a few weeks, and you hit the core, man. You're saying so many things that we believe here are the causes for America crumbling, and then of course the formula for picking up the pieces and rebuilding. So thanks for doing the book. What's the most important thing you want people to take away from it?
Well, thank you. You know, America was born in a crucible of controversy and conflict. We didn't become a free country easily, and it took a lot of fighting. And when Benjamin Franklin came out of the Constitution Hall in 1787 after a very ruckus session, he was asked, "Sir, what do we have here, a monarchy or a republic?" He said, "A republic, if you can keep it." That's right. Well, we're in a major fight now to see if, in fact, we can keep it. We've kept it for over 240 years, but the things that face us now are horrendous. We can't be overcome from outside. We don't have to worry about being overwhelmed by Russia or China or North Korea or Iran, but we can be destroyed from inside. And how do you do that? You look at the foundation of the nation, and that foundation is our families and our faith. And those are the things that are being attacked. And some people think it's of recent origin. It's really not of recent origin. It's been going on for a very long time. If you go back and you look at the congressional record, January the 10th, 1963, Congressman Herlong from Florida read into the congressional record the 45 goals of communism in America. And you see the very things that are happening, many of them to our families. You know, the emphasis on getting rid of God and replacing our faiths in God with faith in government, driving wedges between children and parents, empowering the educational system to be the one that provides the values and not the families. There's taking over the media. That was a big one. And Hollywood, so that you could indoctrinate the people.
The major influence centers. I mean, then you're the voice in their lives more so than the church,
right,
or the family, if you can control those influence centers.
And you can see how Hollywood sort of ridicules the traditional family.
That's
right. And the role of fathers makes the mothers into superheroes. And then how we've made divorce so easy. And one of the reasons that people are not being committed to each other, and people are not getting married anymore, which means not producing children. All of these things are having a very negative impact on our country. And it's intentional, and we're being manipulated. And what I want to do is make sure that people understand what's going on. They don't understand that they're being pawns and they're being played. And all of this is for a very nefarious purpose. And it was Vladimir Lenin who coined the term useful idiots. Basically, you get people to destroy themselves happily without realizing what's going on.
You, man, so many things there to unpack. You the foundation you talked about with family and faith, and of course the scripture, the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that's certainly what they've attempted to do. As you said, not just recently. I mean, they've been scratching and clawing in the trenches for probably 80 years to try to turn this nation into something that was never intended to be. And what you just said is where they've attacked. How do you rebuild the family? Because it has been replaced so much by government. People look to government for all the solutions, or you know, they're even told these are our kids. You know, how do you turn that around?
Well, you know, the reason that they're able to do all of these things is because even though most Americans would disagree with what they're doing, people won't stand up for what they believe in. They'd rather stand in the corners and stare at the floor and hope that no one calls them a nasty name.
Or lack tries of courage, then.
Or tries to cancel them. But, you know, you can't really be the land of the free if you're not the home of the brave.
Amen.
And
Amen.
We wouldn't have the freedoms that we have today if there hadn't been people who preceded us who were willing to put everything on the line to make sure that we retained our freedom. So, you know, people have to get involved. Parents have to go to the school board meetings. They have to run for the school board. They have to get involved with the city council. They have to run for these seats. People have to know who they're voting for. This is a big one because our forefathers understood that this day would come. You know, that's why Benjamin Franklin said, if you could keep it. But that's why they put the power in the hands of the people through the ability to vote. We have a democratic republic for that reason. But if you don't use that vote appropriately, you got a real problem. And a lot of people don't. You know, when they go to vote, they just look for the name that looks familiar. You know, it could be Satan. Oh, yeah, I know that one. Okay. And that's the one they vote for.
Right. They practically are voting for that sometimes. You know? <That's> or at least his minions. If it doesn't, it may not be him, but it's his minions. You know, you're hitting on a really important thing that's missing that we have to restore the family, and that's courage.
Right.
Just the ability to do this. In fact, you quoted Franklin on A Republic, If You Can Keep It. And we don't know for sure if it was Franklin, but he was part of it in 1755, that letter to the colonial governor. You know, if you give up your liberty for safety, you deserve neither liberty or safety. And it's exactly what you're saying. People just play it safe. They don't use their freedom.
Right.
We need to infuse some backbone back into the culture, which is really what you're saying. This perilous fight, you know, that's right before us is going to require courage.
Everybody can get involved. You know, we're told from the time that you're a child, there are two things that you should never talk about: religion and politics. Those are the exact things we need to be talking about.
That's right.
Because those are the things that are under attack, that are being changed, and they would much rather you not talk about them.
Yeah.
Sort of like...
Well, let's talk some religion. What you say there are some biblical principles that are needed to do this. What are those biblical values that you think need to be reignited in the culture?
Well, for instance, Proverbs 22:6. Says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. That is such an important part of this battle, because the Marxists understand it, and that's why Lenin said, give me your children to teach for 4 years, and the seed that I sow will never be uprooted. That's why they're so anxious to get in our schools. And we have to understand what the stakes are here. You know, the human brain is an amazing organ system, billions of neurons, hundreds of billions of connections. It remembers everything you've ever seen, can process more than 2 million bits of information in 1 second. But it takes a while for it to develop. Even though millions of neurons are being added every day after conception, even at the time of birth, millions of neurons are being added. That's why a newborn baby sleeps for 20 to 22 hours. And that continues right up until your 20s. Your mid to late 20s, your brain is developing. So when you take children who have developing brains, who are naturally curious, and who are very suggestible, and they're only 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, and you're saying, you may not actually be a girl. You may not actually be a boy. And their suggestibility and curiosity, that's really child abuse, what you're doing to them.
That's right.
That's why God gave children parents, to protect them from those kinds of things. That's what we need to be concentrating on. We need to also be talking about marriage and what it really means, as opposed to letting it be defined by high Hollywood.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's particularly in the beginning, it's not always a bed of roses. It's like taking two pieces of sandpaper and putting them together. There's a lot of friction frequently
right.
at the beginning. But if you keep rubbing those sandpapers together, what happens? They become smooth. You don't got to hang in there until, you know, you figure each other out. And
that's right. That's right. My daughter-in-law was just telling us the other night, we were sitting around talking about this, and she said, you know, the whole thing about a city on a hill can't be hidden. But she said, if all the lights in the homes are out, it is hidden. You don't see it. We've got to reignite that fight. And she was just acknowledging, she and my son are about to have their first baby, and she was just saying, you know, the most important thing I'll ever do is raise this child to be a patriot, to be a Christian, to be a someone that'll be a good influence out there. And for all of us, reminding ourselves that whatever happens in the White House or the State House is not as important as what happens in our house.
Right.
And getting back to loving the idea of what you just talked about, protecting that child,
exactly.
raising that child. And that should be a passion for all of us again, so that we can pass the torch.
And one of the things that we emphasize in the book is we give you a lot of statistics, numbers, about what happens to a child who is in a traditional nuclear family with a mother and a father who cares for them versus a child who is not in that environment.
Yeah.
And, you know, the statistics don't lie. And these are gathered from conservative and non-conservative sources. They all point in the same direction. So I think a lot of the people on the left who are pushing non-traditional families and radical sexual agendas and things like this, they actually know what the stats are. But they're pushing these agendas anyway for short-term gain without really thinking about what their long-term implications are.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. How do you get parents to realize the dangers that are out there? Because that was one of the things my daughter-in-law was saying. She was like, I don't understand how anybody doesn't know this stuff is happening, and they're still willing to send their kids off to, you know, a school or whatever that's, you know, propagating this stuff. And I said, well, you know, there are echo chambers out there where people don't realize the dangers of what's happening. And like you're saying, this the suggestibility of that child at 8, 9, 10 years old.
Right.
And I think you do that in the book. You're waking people up to realize you've got to realize how serious this is and why you have
right.
to pay attention to
it. Well, I'm hoping that people who read the book will not just read it and put it on their shelf, but they'll start talking to people in their spheres of influence.
Because yeah.
we who are on the side of logic and common sense, who want to preserve America, who appreciate the blessings of this country, have to be willing to get into the fight. I mean, you can't just sit in the corner, play golf, watch the football game, think about your next vacation. Man, you don't have to exclude all those things, but add to it getting involved in a fight.
I don't know, man. I think you do have to exclude. So I think you got to start giving up. Maybe it's golf, maybe whatever. Look for something to sacrifice and say, I'm going to take that time and do a Constitution class or take your book and do a book reading with people in the church. I think we do have to start thinking it's time to sacrifice. Lives, fortune, sacred honor. We're losing this thing.
Well, you know, that's true because, you know, I worked very hard as a pediatric neurosurgeon. Did thousands upon thousands of cases. And one of the things that kept me going is I said, I'm going to be able to retire. I'm going to be able to relax and really become a good golf player and learn how to play the piano and travel to all the places I haven't been and read the books I haven't read and see the movies that I never saw. But, you know, seeing the direction of the country, I couldn't do it. I finally concluded that I'll retire when I get to heaven.
Amen. I like that plan. You have so much to offer. We need you till you're 6 feet under, or your body's 6 feet under, and you're in heaven. And I think that's the way we got to approach this thing. I remember Thomas Paine had a I can't remember exactly. I can't remember what part of American Crisis he said it in, but he was talking about how a Tory was standing in this tavern that he was in, and the guy said something to the effect of, "As long as I have peace in my day." And so Thomas Paine was like, you know, basically said in my jargon, he said, "What a jerk! You know, how could you possibly say that you'd rather your kid have to fight the battle than you?" A real man would say, "I'll fight until I'm dead, till I'm long gone, so that my kids can live in all peace." Right. That's what I just heard you say is, "I'm willing to do whatever it takes for the rest of my life so that we can preserve this freedom and pass it on."
And when you think about what happened in our past, you think about something like World War II, all those women, those young women who went into the munitions factories, many of whom were blown to smithereens, but that didn't stop them from producing all the things that we needed for the war. And think about the young men, 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, many of them who lied about their age so they could fight for our country. Think about D-Day, all of those dead bodies laying in the sand, and them stepping over the dead bodies and overwhelming the Axis forces, knowing in many cases that they'd never see their homeland or their loved ones again. Why did they do that? Obviously not for themselves. They did it for us. Amen. We have to think about that. Now it's our turn.
So true. It's our turn. Oh, it's our job to stand guard at the Watchtower of Freedom. Dr. Ben Carson, what a treat. Really appreciate him coming on and being a part of Wall Builders today. Check out his book, The Perilous Fight, Overcoming Our Culture's War on the American Family. You've got a role to play in that, folks. Stay with us. We'll be right back with David and Tim Martin.
Hey guys, it's Tim Martin, and I want to tell you about our new book, The American Story, Building the Republic. We start with George Washington as president, and we've already become a nation, so really now it's how do we function as a nation? And if we look back in American history, the stability, the prosperity, success we enjoyed as Americans is because of the foundation that our early presidents laid, because of the examples they set. How do we live in America under the Constitution? What is the role of federal government? And really, what part did each one of these early presidents play? We go through the first seven presidents, and a lot of people probably know the names Washington, Adams, Jefferson, and Madison. Very few people know about Monroe or John Quincy Adams or Andrew Jackson. Now, we might know some of their names. We really don't know their stories. We want you to relearn, rediscover American history, and see how it applies to today. Go to wallbuilders.com and get your copy of The American Story, Building the Republic.
We're back on Wall Builders. Thanks for staying with us. Thanks to Ben Carson for joining us. What a great guy, guys. That's the first time we've had him on the program. That was fun.
Yeah, it was. And he, as Tim said at the beginning, what an amazing guy. And you listen to him, and he's really humble, and he's soft-spoken, and such a nice guy. And we've seen him do so many good things, but he has such a backbone, such perseverance. When he was in the administration, he did not put up with people doing the wrong stuff. So he's a really good guy, and he really hit some things. Rick, you and he were talking there at the end on several things that really kind of struck me. It reminded me of some Founding Father statements, and it was like listening to Founding Fathers talk. And, you know, one of the things he talked about is that we really have inside enemies that are more dangerous than outside enemies. He's talking about people disagree with what's going on, but a lot of people, they just don't want to stand up to what's happening. So they disagree with it, but they don't stand up to it. And that kind of courage, that kind of or lack of courage, I was reminded, here's a great quote from John Dickinson, signer of the Constitution. He says, "Slavery is ever preceded by sleep. Let us take care of our rights, and therein we take care of our posterity." So if you refuse to go to sleep, if you will fight for your rights, then you're protecting future generations. I thought that was a really good point. That will a lot of people disagree with what's going on, but they just want to engage. They don't want to stand up for it. They don't want to get yelled at, et cetera. And then you guys were talking later about, you know, rest. We'll rest later. We got too much to do right now. And I was really reminded of something that Benjamin Rush said. Benjamin Rush said, he was writing to a friend. He said, "Remember, my dear friend, that no one lives to himself," which is a quote from Romans 14:7. He said, "Even our old age is not our own property. All the fruits of our age and wisdom and experience belong to the public." He said, "To do good is the business of life. To enjoy rest is the happiness of heaven. We pluck for premature fruit when we grasp at rest on the side of the grave." So it's like, I'm going to burn myself out. I'm not going to rest. There's too much to do. I get to rest in heaven. God didn't put me here to rest. God put me here to do stuff. And that went back to something he learned from his, actually, Preston University of Princeton back then was a guy named Samuel Finley, Reverend Samuel Finley, when Benjamin Rush went there. And he said he learned from Finley. He said, Dr. Finley one time said, I'm ashamed to take rest here. He said, eternity will be long enough to rest. He said, the prayer of my heart is that I may be actuated by the same spirit which dictated those noble Christian sentiments. So again, I've got all of eternity to rest. I'm not resting here. And I think that is the one thing that will turn America faster than anything else right now. Because I agree with Dr. Carson and you. There's a whole lot of people out there who know this stuff is wrong. They're just not standing up for it. They don't want to get involved in the controversy. They want to kind of sit back and let it pass. You can't do that. You can't rest here and you can't sit back here. That happens in heaven. You got to get engaged here. And just, boy, what an honor to have Dr. Carson on to talk about this. And, you know, it was interesting, even with all that we've talked about him, he didn't mention anything political at all. This was just stuff about saving the country. And there he is. People are looking at him for VP, and he's on the VP list. But that wasn't what he wanted to talk about. He wanted to talk about saving the country and what we can do to do that. And these are perilous times. So bless his heart. He's got a really good book out there.
Well, and what a godly example, man. I just love his humility and just so much wisdom there. It's a great example of what we should all strive to be, and thankful that God's continuing to use him. Great book, folks. You need to check it out. And, of course, we'll have links today at wallbuilders.com, so it'll make it easy for you to get over there. Good stuff. Thanks to Ben Carson for joining us today. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to The Wall Builder Show.